Morning, everybody. I'd like to go ahead and call the Senate Finance Committee to order Monday, February 2nd, 2026. With me today is Senator Keel, Senator Merrick, Senator Kaufman, Senator Cronk, Senator Hoffman, Senator Olson will be joining us here in a few minutes. We have one item on the agenda today. We're going to talk about the Marine Highway. We have an overview and to present and have a discussion from the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. We have the Commissioner, Mr. Henderson, Ryan Henderson, if he can come forward, along with Dom Pannone, the Director, Program Management and Administration. And I guess we have the Deputy Commissioner, right?
Yes.
And we're going to be straightforward today with the Finance Committee. Please answer their questions truthfully and directly. Don't concern yourself if we like the answer or not. We'll work through those issues. I'd like to welcome the group here today to help us with this. This will probably be a follow-up meeting on this subject sometime in the relatively near future, after we get a little bit further into the budget. We have been joined by Senator Olson and our other co-chair, Senator Hoffman. With that, if you can introduce yourself for the record, who you represent, and then take us through your presentation. And we'll do one slide at a time and then take questions.
Yes, thank you, Chair Stedman, and thank you to the Senate Finance Committee for having us here today. For the record, my name is Ryan Anderson, and I'm the Commissioner of the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. Yeah, for today, the focus for today is on the Rural Ferry Program, which is a discretionary grant program that began with the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act when that new surface transportation bill was issued. And so what we'd like to do today is to take the committee through the Rural Ferry Program, just to get everybody up to speed on all the past awards that we've received and how we've kind of progressed through that with progress, and then talk about the 2026 program and where we're at with the financials on that, if that's okay, Chair.
Yep.
Okay, so we'll go to the first slide. And so this slide really just outlines the program, the authorization that was made that made these funds available. It's Section 71103 of the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. $1 billion over 5 years. Is what it authorized, and it was about $200 million annually for competitive grants. We had to apply for these grants, meeting the criteria as defined. And as you can see, we included the criteria here because eligible service was a criteria that really made these grant funds, it allowed Alaska to be very competitive in applying for these grant funds, particularly this criteria that you served not less than two rural areas located more than 50 miles apart. So this program has been, we've been very successful in securing funds through the program over the years, as we'll go through. And you can see that, the precise amount available for program awards annually, $195,980,000. The other unique thing about this program is it received 5 years of advance appropriations. So that means it was created and fully funded in the same bill. So that's, I think that's important as well as we go through this presentation.
For the record, Catherine Keith, Deputy Commissioner, Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. We first saw the original notice of funding opportunity in 2022. This was the implementation of this program. As you can see, we've had five different grants from the Rural Ferry Program. In addition to this, we also received an award for the Low No Emission Ferry Program of $46 million in federal funds, and that's for our high-efficiency shuttle ferry. With overall $252 million available for this program, in this year that was awarded nationally, Alaska received $239 million of it. Our strategy here was to combine a focus on new vessels, modernization of the along with modernization of our existing fleet. The Tustamina replacement vessel was awarded $68 million. We had a program for modernization of several vessels that received $72 million. We also had modernization of our docks, ferry terminals for $45 million, and operating funds of $45 million. With this program, we are able to apply for both capital and operating costs. The operating costs in this program are restricted to 50% of our net operating costs on an annual basis. So this period gave you this balance to kick us off and help us identify eligibilities for this program for future years. One thing to call out is that given the match requirements with this program, which is 20% of non-federal funds, this initiated the department's efforts to establish the Alaska Toll Credit Program. While we had toll generating assets prior to 2022, we had not yet collected toll credits. What toll credits allows us to do is use our federal funds as match, thereby saving the state from having to use general funds to match this federal program. So we've continued to run this program every year since, and in our statewide transportation improvement program, we have over the next 4 years, you know, over $80 million in toll credits, which again means that that's a savings on the general fund of that amount each time we use toll credits.
So before you go to the next slide, I guess, can you help the committee a little bit on the toll credits, especially the public, maybe give us a brief explanation how they work and how much is actually said. If I heard you right, they haven't been paid yet to the state. And are we talking about the 22 year, FY22 on this slide, or can you help us with that?
Yeah, Chair Stedman, I'd like to defer to Director Dom Pannone, who was pivotal in kicking this program off.
Mr. Pannone, you've worked on this for several years. Can you? We need a little more detail, I guess, where we're at.
For the record, Dom Pannone, Alaska DOT. So the toll credit program is an allowance in federal law in Title 23 that allows the state to get a credit for toll revenues that it reinvests back into a toll facility. And because the Alaska Marine Highway System is classified as a toll facility, when we reinvest AMHS revenue back into our overhauls, we get a conceptual credit that we can use to waive the match on other federal projects. So we get a balance sheet of credits, and when we get grants like these, we're able to use that credit and then combine these grants with other formula federal funds instead of the state match. So we've saved the state approximately $66 million in match to date and been able to capture these new federal programs.
Okay, so this balance sheet, which is a snapshot in time of a fiscal position, can you give us an idea of the amount on that balance sheet and in the application of those credits to other match projects?
Absolutely. To date, the credits have been applied to several projects. The $66 million is fully allocated. I believe there's roughly $37 million programmed to the Tustamina replacement vessel, where we're combining our federal highway ferry boat funds with the FTA awards that we've had and using those match credits to fund the Tustamina replacement vessel. They've also been applied to, I believe, or are slated to be applied to several dock and terminal projects, Angoon and Cake, I believe, but we can provide the record of their use.
Yes, that would be handy if you could give us basically the balance sheet annually of the, so we can see how many of credits accumulated and then what they were expensed on would be helpful. It is kind of an abstract, new, fairly new concept we're using here that has helped the state quite a bit. It was pretty creative or clever that the department noticed that and went after those credits. So, but it would be helpful for the committee to watch the annual in and outflow of those credits. Have other questions on the Senator Keel? You look like you have a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It really is an innovative way to move forward, and I appreciate the department's work. Just an ignorant mechanical question. You call them conceptual credits. They're not a check from Uncle Sam. So you got an 80-20 project, costs $100 million, and we use conceptual credits for our 20. We get 80 from Uncle Sam, or we get 100 from Uncle Sam?
Through the chair, Senator Keel, excellent question. So you're correct. So if we have an 80-20 project where we've got an award for 80% of the federal funds, and we use our toll credits to match the 20%, we can then use other funds. They don't have to be state funds to match. So our strategy has been to use the ferry boat program on the federal highway side to transfer those funds to FTA to then fill that 20% gap. And the toll credits allow us to do that. And that amplifies the value of the ferry boat program funds that we already receive.
Thank you.
And maybe when you get back to the committee, you could, with the balance sheet, you can have a little brief explanation on that so the committee members and could have that to refresh their memory as we move on through the year, because it'll come up again in the future here. Any other questions on slide number 3? We'll go in then to FY23 grant award year on slide 4.
For the record, Catherine Keith. In 2023, the department had a very targeted strategy in completing the Testamina replacement vessel funding. And again, we applied for operating funds for $38 million. The Testamina replacement vessel received $92 million. So of the total nationwide ferry boat program awards of 170, Alaska received $131 million.
Do we have any questions on the? Yes. Go ahead. Senator Kaufman.
Thank you, through the chair. The diesel-electric boats, when they were first being proposed, there were folks that were concerned that we were getting into kind of new green deal, bleeding edge, not going to work, be expensive propulsion systems. And could you just give me a characterization of that seems to be a core propulsion technology as it's currently practiced in the marine industry for ships such as these, or if it's indeed something that's more linked to an environmental agenda that might be unstable funding going forward?
Through the chair, Senator Kaufman. Yeah, thank you. With the rural ferry boat program and its low no emission ferry program, we were able to apply for and receive that $46 million award. So that particular program is targeted for electric, but the process with researching and developing the planning, the design for the Testamina replacement vessel, in addition to that program, led the team to come to some conclusions about the amount of savings in our operating budget that a more modern diesel hybrid propulsion system would give us. So, for example, diesel mechanical vessels are significantly outdated when you look globally at new ferries and what's being constructed. So being able to be future-proofed to enable the system to adapt as we move forward, if there's different fuel types, different global requirements, as we do have a vessel in international waters. These things did require us to take a look at our propulsion system, which is what we're moving forward with now. It's a hybrid system. The Testamina replacement vessel will have a battery on board. And that battery isn't so that we can go full electric, but that does allow us to take full advantage of the peaks that come with waves when the vessel is underway and other things, so that it is a significant operating savings to have that. So there is the International Maritime Organization has global requirements where the Alaska Marine Highway System would be penalized if we don't show emissions reduction. So there is a financial incentive there as well as operating savings. So substantial arguments for a hybrid system outside of environmental benefits.
Follow-up?
It seems to work for locomotives. Thanks.
Yeah. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Keith, when was the 2023 grant application submitted?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman. We have timelines here in a couple slides, but what we have noticed is once the NOFO is released, it's about 180 days before it is awarded. So the 2023 applications, the NOFO went out, the Notice of Funding Opportunity went out on May 18th. Given a typical 60-day period to submit the applications, well, we would have submitted that in June or July. We can give you exact dates.
But, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can you help us with the Ketchikan to Metlakatla ferry? And for those watching, that's the shortest run I think we have in a system where if we were to have an electrical run ship, it might be more applicable than going across the Gulf and have you run out of have a dead battery. Can you help us with that?
Yeah, Chair Sedman, certainly. With the Southeast Conference, we had completed a fairly thorough preliminary design of the vessel, the low no emission ferry vessel, or the shuttle ferry. And what that indicated was that there are a couple routes where this could be successful to have a fully electric system. One was on that route, Metlakatla to Ketchikan, just because of that shorter distance, that electric ferry could go back and forth and then get charged in Ketchikan. That was one option. Secondly was from Haines to Skagway, has this shuttle ferry going back and forth. And in combination with the Taslina, that would allow us to, again, have some savings and increased service in Northland Canal.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Any other questions on slide 4? Okay, we'll go to slide 5.
And last, we have the 2024 awards. And again, you see the same targeted strategy to complete the funding portfolio for the Tustamina replacement vessel and operating funds as well. We did apply for and received funds to install Starlink to finally get Wi-Fi on board our vessels for crew and passenger use.
On these grants for 24, is there any grant money that we're waiting for out of Washington of these 3 years and maybe 25?
Yeah, Chair Stedman, at this point, these are all fully available to the department for obligation.
And monies that aren't available? Is there any monies that aren't available?
Not at this time.
Okay. Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The 24 amount for operations bumped up more than 50% from the 2 years prior. Can you talk to us about that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Keel, the operating program, it does allow us to, again, we have 50% of our overall operating net operating costs, but that is based on the past 3 years average. So as operating costs had increased within AMHS, then that allows for a higher dollar amount for that request. It's just based on that pure 50% of the prior year's operating net operating cost.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So the Fed's based that on budgeted or actual?
Through the chair, Senator Keel, it's based on actual prior years.
Thanks.
We're on slide number 6, I guess.
For the record, Don Pannone. So of all the awards that Alaska's been very successful in retrieving, we've received 3 operating grant awards and 7 total capital grant awards, the capital grants being just under $400 million and the operating grants being just under $150 million. Those are federal dollars. And so grant awards to date that Alaska has captured with this program is $548 million. We've got a list of notable projects, the largest, of course, which just released the the project for bid, the Tustamina replacement vessel. And again, this program also spurred the creation of the toll credit program, which we've already discussed.
You're done with the slide? Okay. Could you talk to us a little bit about the broader concept about the STIP and did this program that we pretty much credit to Senator Murkowski, did it supplant or add to the federal money coming into the state for their normal transportation program?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, this money, once we got it, did have the department refactor which projects we were going to use which dollars for. So in the past, the department has received a formula allocation based on ferry miles, ferry passengers, and cars transported through the Federal Highway Administration called the Ferry Boat Program. And this new program was on the Federal Transit Administration, caused us to refactor and add additional projects and allowed us to fund projects that we knew we needed to do and we're only looking for funds for.
Okay, if you could maybe get back to the committee in a little more detail, because what I'm curious about is the added value that this has brought to the table for getting projects done around the state, including all our general highway projects, and looking for the net gain of total capital dollars that this has impacted versus just a transfer, similar to when we did the bridge in Ketchikan years ago, where it was an additive on top of the normal allocation to DOT?
Chair Stedman, Ryan, for the record, Ryan Anderson. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this was dollars added to our overall program as discretionary grants, competitive discretionary grants. And in addition to this, we were also successful with the Maritime Administration with additional additive grants that helped us with our dock infrastructure for ferries as well. And then there's several programs that, you know, we've been successful in to add. So it doesn't, the ferry system doesn't necessarily burden on the highway side, I think is what you're saying. And then we can continue with that focus on the ferries to get these good projects that are needed done. So we can absolutely provide you that list. And if it's okay, we would include these other funding sources as well.
Yeah, it would be helpful for us to understand the magnitude of the benefit of this program. Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was flipping back and forth, and I may have missed a slide. The last one was grant year 24. It's now calendar 26. It's both state and federal fiscal 26. Where, can you tell us about 25?
For the record, Don Pannone, I think that's a good segue to our next slide here, if I may, Mr. Chairman.
All right, just a second before we go to any more questions on this slide. Okay, we'll go to the next slide, and then maybe you could try to roll in Senator Keel's answer to your presentation on this slide.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So our current year is calendar year 26, which was appropriated in fiscal year 26. Several years back, the state used a large portion of COVID funds to fund an additional 6 months of operating for the ferry system, which put us, which pushed us back to a calendar year, which gave us more time between session and the budget cycle that we would be on. So since going to that budget, we then received 3 consecutive years of operating funds from this grant program, which we've used every year in our budget. And that was in 24, we used it in fiscal year 24, we used those in calendar year 25. So looking at calendar year 2026, which we which was appropriated last session, we received $170.7 million in our operating budget. Within that budget, there was $77.9 million of Fed slated for the department to receive a grant from the FTA Rural Ferry Grant Program. That represents 45.6% of our budget, and the UGF in our budget would be used to match those funds if we were successful in getting that grant. Last fall, we did not, and last summer, we did not see a notice of funding opportunity, which we had seen in the 3 years prior. A notice of funding opportunity was not released for this grant and has still not been released for this grant. So currently, right now, we have a shortfall in our budget. You can see the dotted line there. The $77 million is the federal funds we have yet to receive for the current calendar year.
So if you're short $77.9 million, how do you cash flow? Help us with that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So right now, we are looking at several options, and we're working with our congressional delegation and the Federal Transit Administration on continuing to pursue a grant for the current operating cycle. On top of that, we're looking at several other options. But at this point right now, I think what we're, as far as cash flow, we've got enough Marine Highway funds and unrestricted general funds to continue operations into May. At that point, we're going to be switching to our summer schedule. So right now, our target is to have resolution by May, and at that point, we would be releasing our summer schedule. We would have to know by then if we need to make any changes accordingly for our budget.
So, but help me with what's going on in Washington, because it's a long ways away, but what kind of risk are we facing that these funds don't move out of Washington and then you get tied up and rolled forward into the next major transportation bill, and then this isn't extended and they actually extinguish the money that they haven't put out? Can you help us with that?
Yeah, Chair Stedman, for the record, Ryan Anderson. Yeah, this is something that's been on our mind. I mean, we've been working with talking to the Federal Transit Administration. We're going to make a trip to D.C. to have further discussions so that we make sure they understand the implications and the importance of these funds for the Alaska Marine Highway System. What is going on in Washington, D.C.? Yeah, that's always a tough thing. We work with our congressional delegation to help us understand, you know, where we're at on that front. And so I think you're going to see in the next month a lot of focus on this particular issue and you know, ways forward. We're absolutely looking at, you know, the system and you know, what are the options here for scenarios if for some reason we aren't successful in securing the funds, the total amount of the funds, the partial amount of the funds. And so we'll be working through that here as well. Some things we're looking at, and these are healthy things for us because, you know, we dig deep and start looking at where cost savings could be achieved. The Matanuska, for example, that's a vessel, right? It's the oldest vessel in the fleet. And it's been tied up, and it serves as our hotel ship. We're able to, with the Kennecott coming out of the capital program and getting the repower work done, both the Kennecott and Columbia now will be working independently, right? We'll be switching out for service between the two. And so one of those vessels can be available as a hotel ship. So disposing of the Matanuska at this time is something that, you know, we're looking at that we very much are interested in doing because it also factor in that cost savings here in the next few months that could contribute and kind of extend the time that we have to resolve this issue as well. So looking at all those types of options to really, you know, make sure we're doing what we can in this situation and getting it resolved.
So Representative Bynum has joined us in the back dealing with the Marine Highway. I think he has some interest in the subject also. So help me understand the, you know, we were on an 18-month schedule and then there could be a 12-month appropriation. Is there a time lapse concerns we should be aware of, or and the point of these questions and discussion is cash flowing the Marine Highway and ensuring that we have a transportation system after we leave and wrap up this year's budget that will be in existence when we reconvene a year from now.
Yeah, Chair Stedman. Yeah, I'll let Director Pannone speak a bit to the calendar and the fiscal year operating budgets. The I guess the one thing that I would say when that we're looking at closely, because these federal grants require match, the timelines of the grants and that requirement, the timeline requirement for the match is important in how we're looking at these funds and when we can secure them. The you know, the match has to be there, and so even if we were to, let's say, get 2 years of grants in a following year, you know, with the match situation, that just might, it doesn't quite, the calculations don't work out. So with that, let me let Director Pinon talk a little bit about the.
Mr. Pinon, can you help us and maybe for people back home kind of cover the older 12-month, then we went to an 18-month look ahead? Give us a little background on that before you roll into your answer. Otherwise, it might get confusing for the public. In fact, it'll probably be confusing for some of the people at the table and in the room.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Dom Pinon. So during the pandemic, the state received over $108 million from the Federal Highway Administration. And in that year, one of the uses that the state chose to use that money for was to give the AMHS an extra six-month appropriation and then a one-year appropriation. So we got 18 months of funding all at once. So typically in the past, our fiscal or budget cycle was from July till June. We got a July to December six-month portion and then a calendar year portion. So from then on, we've received 12-month appropriations of funding and continued to stay on the calendar year. So that gives the system an additional 6 months of runway between when session ends or when the budget passes that we can adopt those changes, whatever they are in the budget. So we're on the calendar year at AMHS. The rest of the state follows the fiscal year appropriations. So the money we have right now is for calendar year 26, and the money that we're requesting in the governor's budget is for the calendar year 27. In the governor's budget, we're also requesting, instead of the appropriation starting January 1st and ending at the end of December, that we simply have a two-year time span to use the funds we get, so that at the end of our funding, we can roll to the next set of funding. And if we have a surplus of funds, we can carry those forward. And if we have a deficit, we can roll to the funding sooner and work with the legislature the next session. So as the budget's proposed right now, the calendar year 27 funding would be available July 1st. And I think the question is, could we roll to that funding early if we needed to use some of that funding? And the point for us is that once we get this grant, we do have to pair it with UGF in our budget. So at $70 million, we have to come up with 20% of UGF. And so the further we go in time, the greater that hole becomes that we have to match the federal funds. So if we're rolling into the next year's budget, that just creates a greater need in the following year for federal funds. And whether or not we can match it within the same year, that creates the challenge for doing that.
And we'll have you back when we work on the budget, I think, to lay this out in a calendar format. The concern is that these federal monies don't materialize in time, and we fast forward roughly a year, and we're out of cash. And we'll be at the very beginning of a budget cycle, halfway through this year, fiscal year. And we won't have a supplemental available till 4 or 5 months later. So there's a cash flow concern that is surfacing, dealing with the Marine Highway, and the lack of throughput from Washington of some of these funds and the impact it has. Plus, our budgets are getting tighter and taking away the flexibility that the committee has to backfill some of these holes and this particular hole could be significant, like in pushing 80 million or some other number. I think that's one of the things that we'd like you to work with OMB on and the committee, and we'll have you back in OMB to go in more detail, laying out the cash flow scenarios. So in the event that we have problems, we're not faced with a shutdown of the Marine Highway or a reduction in service beyond what we already have, which some will argue is below par to start with. Does that sound like a reasonable way forward, Mr. Commissioner?
Yes, sir. Chair Stedman, yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, that'll give OMB time to look at this. I think the awareness or the concern of this particular issue surfaced before it did at OMB, and I think the department also. I think we're a little more sensitive to it or concerned about it looking forward. We'll look back at which we've done here this morning about these grants and the cash flow there, but now we're going to look from, we want to concentrate from here, which is January, over the next 18 months and make sure that, calendar months, and make sure that our transportation system can function, and if it can't and if there's adverse risk, then we have some discussion here on how to mitigate that so we're not caught flat-footed and the citizens of the state aren't caught with no transportation or diminished transportation. Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I couldn't agree more. Part of the reason for going to the calendar year funding was to get schedules out earlier, enhance the public's ability to plan, and enhance ticket sales and car deck sales, and thus the amount of revenue coming in. So I understand the department has not been able to do that in the last year or two. Be good to get back to that, but I understand right now we have a federal chaos problem. So I just, Mr. Chairman, agree completely that we need to get together with OMB and the department, make sure we do everything at the state level we can so that federal chaos doesn't create chaos at the state level. To that end, let me ask that you please also loop in the Department of Law. As we talk about shifting authority between fiscal years, there was a squabble 6-7 years ago in another department about what could be done that way. And we don't want any surprises here. So please have those conversations early so that we come up with backstops and solutions that last and that work. Thank you.
So it was... hoping we'd get into it in a little more detail today for the committee, but as far as the next 12 to 18 months, but we have time. It's only our third week, but we need to work with the administration to get a clear view of what's coming at us, and it may not be till you the department gets back from Washington with newer information, but we definitely want to not ignore this. And again, work with the administration because we could fund it and the governor could veto it, or we could not fund it and he can't operate. So we need to work jointly. We also want stability within our workforce so they're not worried about some surprise, coming in next winter and we have a shrinking schedule or we're tying up the whole darn fleet. So we'll come up with a process collectively, I think would be the best. Do we have any other questions? Yes, Senator Kaufman.
Thank you. Just a thought for the committee. It would be good if we're spending $1 million, a report on the earned value. So if we spend $1 million, where are we at as we're spending? Are we on trend or are we getting behind in terms of the value for the money that we've already or been recently spending on any project work?
You're talking broadly around the state or on the Marine Highway?
Right now, narrowly within this. I guess it's something to think about, for all of our spending, what are we getting for what we're spending?
Mm-hmm. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder. I guess if you use the Marine Highway, it's pretty sensitive. And if you're an area that you never use it, it's probably you'd rather have more potholes fixed. I guess it comes from your viewpoint. But we definitely need a transportation system. And the department's been very creative in helping with the Marine Highway with these grants and the toll credits. They don't get much credit for that. That was, I think, a very good move so far. So that credit goes to the department. Senator Kaufman.
Yes, sir. Just staying out of the pothole argument. So I think we measure progress on potholes for pothole's sake, but then on the Marine Highway in its realm, how are we doing on those projects as far as money spent, earned value for the value of work that's being done on ongoing efforts.
And we'll also have the opportunity, when they come back, they can give us an update on the Tuscumbia bid process and also where we are on the next ferry. And that'll get into the cash flow discussion as we look forward. We have other questions on this slide. Go on to the next slide, slide number 8.
For the record, Don Pannone. So this slide provides an outline of what we've felt was a predictable cycle of the notice of funding opportunities for these funds over the last 3 years, except for this last summer. So in July 11th of 2022, as we mentioned, we got that first notice of funding opportunity, and within 199 days received the grant awards. In the subsequent year, it was May, we received the notice of awards in November, 196 days later, and then in 2024, it was April that the notice came out, and then in September that we got the notice of award, 152 days later. So we've seen quicker returns on that program, and those are roughly the timelines we could expect. But what we are tracking, though, is that in this program, there's still $410 million left. As the commissioner said at the beginning of this presentation, when the program was authorized, it was also funded at the same time. So we're going to continue to work with our partners when we go to Washington, D.C. to advocate for the return of the notice of funding opportunity.
And could you give us kind of a rough calendar schedule on that, when you expect roughly to go and get back so we can plan our committee? Because we would like to have you come back in much more detail on this timeline of cash flow, and I think that meeting might be very pertinent to that discussion.
Mr. Chairman, so our timeline is near the end of February, there is an annual conference around federal funding and with the other states as well. So roughly the end of February is our timeline for that.
Do you think that will work for the committee? We're expecting spring revenue update around the 13th of March, I think, if I remember right, somewhere in there, middle of March. And we won't really know where we are budget-wise until then. We'll take a look at those final numbers. So that will I think, work for the committee and give OMB and the department and Ledge Finance a little time to work on the cash flow discussion and how we're going to lay that out. We have other questions on slide number 8. Senator Cromp.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just got not particularly on number 8, but what does it says, funding for the operation of this Marine Highway. What exactly does that entail? What are we using that money for?
Yeah, for the record, Ryan Anderson, through the chair, Senator Cromp. Yeah, the one thing that was unique about these Rural Ferry Program discretionary grants was that our operating costs are eligible. And so that's something that, we leveraged and took advantage of. A lot of grants, it's typically just capital where you can go build projects, like the Tuscumbia or these upgrades to our vessels. In this particular case, it can actually pay for the operations of the vessels, the crews, the fuel, those typical operating costs that we have on the system.
Yep.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So once all of this grant money is gone, will we continue to receive operating funds from the federal, or are we going to have to figure out a way how to fund that as a state?
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Cronk. Yeah, this year the surface transportation reauthorization is up for renewal. And so this, we understand, is part of that discussion is will the rural ferry program continue over the next subsequent 4 years? And so that'll be a big part of what, you know, when we're speaking to our counterparts with the in the other states about the reauth. And we have been approached, like states like Hawaii. I've been in contact with my counterparts in those types of states that have ferries. And folks are very interested. Other states are very interested in this program as well because they have a lot of similar challenges as we do. And so I think nationwide there's support for a program such as this. The questions that are, you know, how could the rules be rewritten and then how competitive can Alaska be? That'll be the challenge. So we're working through all that, but that's definitely on the list from states.
Follow-up.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So there's a possibility when this money is gone that we will have to figure out a way to pay for operating costs as a state if the feds decide that it's not to continue these types of grants.
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Cronk. Yeah, I wouldn't want to even try to predict what comes out of Washington, D.C. These days, so that isn't a possibility.
Well, I'll make a prediction, Senator Cronk, that it's going to be very difficult for rural Alaska to get the votes to backfill $80 to $100 million in a tight budget year. It creates a significant transportation risk for coastal Alaska. So that lies the concern. The other concern from the coast is there was a desire to have substantially more of these funds go into capital to replace the old vessels, get our operating costs down, to facilitate the ability to get operating money in the budget process to run the marine highway. Now, it looks like we're getting one ship, but we need more than one ship. Assume that the bid comes in and as targeted at 300 and some million or whatever, 340, whatever they're looking at. But these ships are old, and they need to be replaced. So there's that's part of the earlier questioning we had or discussion of the concern on the cash flow is exactly what you've brought up. So, Senator, the commissioner, you have want to add to that?
Yeah, Chair Stedman, just one more thing. You know, I think what you said about, you know, newer ships and lower operating costs is right on. But also this idea of building longer roads and shorter ferry runs, I think that is something where, and it's been talked about for a long time, to get to that point where, you know, you can reduce costs of the system is important as well. So I just, I think there's a lot of factors that we want to think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll take up the road discussion another day, but it's very, very difficult to build roads. So we have any more questions on slide 8 before he gets to the slide he's been looking for since 9 a.m.? Seeing no questions. Mr. Commissioner, next slide, please.
This is my favorite slide, Chair Stedman. Yeah, no, thank you. We appreciate the opportunity, and we'll be back, absolutely, with more details. And I just want to, we take this very seriously. I mean, absolutely, you know, we're the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. We absolutely, you know, want a functioning transportation system, and we recognize the value and the importance of the Alaska Marine Highway System for Southeast Alaska and Southwest Alaska. So we definitely want to, you know, we'll be working this, and this is on the top of our mini lists.
Yeah. And the military for when they change stations. Fairbanks area, they get a lot of throughput up the Marine Highway, facilitating the military base. So there is, kind of a broad effect. It's not just, you know, the coastal communities. Any final questions before we have the department back here in several weeks to go into more detail on the cash flow? Okay. Thank you. And go ahead and maybe pass the conversations this morning on to the OMB director when you have time. It'd be interesting, I think, if we get the legislature and the administration together, we can get a pretty clear layout of what we're dealing with so we can help facilitate any adverse impacts that may be delivered to us out of Washington. And or try to help what little we can from the legislative side pry that money loose out of Washington. I recognize that's the area of the administration, not the legislature, but we'll do whatever the administration want, you know, ask us to do to help and facilitate that. Any other questions, comments before we conclude today's meeting? We're going to be back here tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. We've got three pieces of legislation on the table. Senate Bill 34, repeal the 90-day session limit. Senate Bill 20, CPR curriculum. And Senate Bill 104, vehicles, boats, transfer on death title. And that is not the Malaspina that passed away. That's who this will be, people. Just thought I'd lighten it up a little bit here. The Malaspina, I think, has seen better days. Okay, we are adjourned.